Hey, Doug is off. I'm going to get you right up till 7 o'clock. And again, Dan Ruzanowski at 6:15 will preview the Sharks again. Patrick Marleau no longer a Shark, and you know, again, you know, I guess you can say that everything, you know, will change. That's a big departure. You know, they lost in the first round of the playoffs. And, you know, a fixture has been, you know, Patrick Marleau. He spent his entire career with San Jose, 19 years, and now is, you know, with the Leafs. And, you know, again, this is a veteran hockey team in the San Jose Sharks. So we'll get more with that with Dan Ruzanowski. All right, I want to get back to a lot of the questions about this general manager poll. I don't know if they actually, all the general managers do this. I really don't. I don't know if they do it or do they give it to an assistant and or somebody in the office to do. I don't know the answer to that, okay? But there was one area on this poll that I thought was very interesting. And it had to do with the Sacramento Kings. And it had to do with a player that I was surprised to see on the list. And, you know, again, the Kings have a lot of new players. You know that. I know that. And I guess I shouldn't be totally shocked. I think the Kings have a lot of good players. But they aren't, you know, a lot of these young players, we don't know, because the reality is they haven't played yet. You know, now I like what I saw the other evening with De'Aaron Fox, with, again, Frank Mason, and I can go on and on. I think you would agree with me on that. But one of the players that the Kings have was in the poll as one of the most underrated player acquisitions. So, the question to general managers, what was the most underrated player acquisition? Paul Millsap, 24% to Denver. Avery Bradley was second to Detroit. Jimmy Butler and Jay Crowder were tied for third with Minnesota and Cleveland, respectively. And guess who was fifth? Very interesting here when I tell you these two names. Bogdan Bogdanovic and Rudy Gay. Both tying for fifth as the most underrated player acquisition. Interesting, isn't it? All right, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. Let's get to Ahmad. What's up, Ahmad?
Hey, how's it going? I just wanted to talk about the Warriors and how you were discussing the general manager voting and all that. And I think the reason why the percentages are so obscured, you know, so high for them is because I feel like they're the only team that, and I'm just talking, you know, the bigger teams, Oklahoma City, Houston, Cleveland, Boston, they're the only team that doesn't have that many question marks entering into the season.
They don't have, you know? They don't even have one question mark.
They don't have one question mark. And if anything, they got deeper. And, like, yes, you know, you go to Cleveland and, like, who knows how Derrick Rose's health is going to be, Dwayne Wade's age. Like,
yep,
you know, that's a different team. Boston, how is Kyrie going to fit into the system? You go to Houston, how is Chris Paul going to fit with James Harden?
Yep.
And then, you know, Oklahoma City is a collection of talent. You know, Billy Donovan's got to find a way to help the team. I wonder why not many people are talking about Washington in the East. Washington's...
I don't know. Okay. I you know, I got to tell you, when I look at Washington, I like their team. I just can't put them ahead of Boston and Toronto just yet. But, you know, last year they were right there with Boston and they lost a game seven. And in that game, John Wall was terrible.
Right.
I'm not really sure. You think Washington should be at least mentioned, huh?
I think the biggest issue for me for them this offseason is I was really hoping they would just bring in a little bit more depth, because I feel like their starting lineup looks really good.
Right.
It's just their bench players, when they come in, the efficiency just goes down. They just, you know, they teams go on 8-0 runs, and then it just kills the momentum for them. So I'm just shocked that it couldn't bring in, you know, any free agents, you know, make any trades that would just, you know, boost their bench at all.
Yeah, you know, they spent a lot of money, obviously, to keep Otto Porter, and yeah. I like their team. I just don't love their team. That's just me. I like their team. I just don't love their team. I'm looking at the Wizards, and I'm going, okay, they're good. Backcourt, Wall, Beal.
Good coach.
Right. What's
Scotty
that?
Brooks.
Yeah, no, I like Scott Brooks. Scott Brooks is a very good coach. I've always liked Scott Brooks. I like him personally, but I really like him as a coach.
I still think he was wrongfully fired in Oklahoma City, but that's a different topic.
I don't disagree with that. But, I mean, when you look at their starting five, all right, assuming that it's John Wall, Bradley Beal, Otto Porter, Marcin Gortat, and Jason Smith, you know, then you got Markieff Morris.
Right.
You've got Kelly Oubre. You've got, I mean, you know, they got a nice ball club.
Did they lose Bogdanović?
Yes.
Where did he go?
I'll double check on that.
Was that Atlanta?
I was just going to say Atlanta. I'm going to look that up.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. I mean, they're good. I just don't think, I really don't. It's not Atlanta. Let me keep on looking here where he went. Was it Orlando? I'll come up with it. It's just not, I just don't think they're championship material. I really don't. I think they're good. Would I be shocked if they come out of the East? Maybe I wouldn't be shocked, but I would say, let's call it surprised. I mean, I would be surprised. I think when you look at the Wizards, I just don't think they're better than Toronto, personally. And I just don't think that they are better than Cleveland. I don't think anybody would. I mean, what's that? Bogdanović? Is that what he was asking? Yes. Bojan Bogdanović is on Indiana. Thank you for that. Yeah, the Pacers signed him as a free agent. $10,500,000. Not bad, huh? Right? And, of course, you know who else is on that team? That would be Darren Collison. Starting point guard with Victor Oladipo in the backcourt. That's not bad, huh? Not bad. I mean, you look at the Pacers. Their team is not bad. You know that? Collison and Oladipo, Thaddeus Young, Miles Turner. I love Miles Turner. Bogdanović, Sabonis, Jefferson, Glenn Robinson III, Corey Joseph, Lance Stevenson. No, they're not a bad team. Not bad at all. But I'll tell you this, in the East, if you're going to be good in the West, and let me retract that. If you're going to win in the mid-30s even, in the West, you better make sure you win your games against the East. That I think we can safely say. All right, we'll come right back. We will talk some hockey with the voice of the Sharks, Dan Ruzanowski, right here on Sports 1140 KHDK. Well, as we get you up to 7 o'clock, I'm watching the Pittsburgh-St. Louis game. We've got hockey tonight right here on Sports 1140 KHDK with the Flyers and the Sharks. It is game one. And the voice of the San Jose Sharks, nice enough to join us, Dan Ruzanowski. Dan, it's good to talk to you. How are you?
I'm fantastic, Grant. Another season.
Yep.
I can just sense it all getting started, and it's, you know, like opening day for any other sport. It just feels great.
How odd is it not to have Patrick Marleau around?
Really odd, especially given the fact that he's already scored a goal for the Toronto Maple Leafs tonight.
Yeah.
20 years is a long time. I remember when the kid was 17 years old and coming out to San Jose to see it for the first time. So this is going to be very interesting to not see him. And let's not forget, he's played over 600 consecutive games.
Wow.
Heading into this season. You think about that at age 38. That is as remarkable as anything he's ever done, including scoring a game-winning goal against 29 other opponents in the NHL. Now that he's left the Sharks, he's got a chance to make it 30-31 with San Jose and Las Vegas this season. And, of course, the Sharks will do everything to stop that. But he's a guy that is a Shark for life. He's someone that we respect tremendously and obviously someone that they're going to have to replace his offensive production this year.
There's no doubt about that. Still, with his departure, this is still a veteran team. You know, when you have a Thornton, Pavelski, Couture, Burns, I can go on and on. I mean, this is a seasoned team, that's for sure, isn't it?
Well, it is, and it's kind of interesting. There's a five-game homestand against primarily Eastern Conference teams to start the campaign before the club heads out on its traditional October sojourn back to the New York metropolitan area. But I think that homestand under normal circumstances might not be good for some teams. But for this team, because they're so seasoned and because they know each other so well, as you mentioned, integrating some of these kids that are going to be joining the team this year that have played partially with the club over the last year or two is really not that big a deal. And so I think it's just nice for the team to be home, to get that season started off and hopefully on a good footing, and then get out on the road and establish themselves there.
I'll tell you what I love about the NHL, and I was talking about this with the NBA general managers poll that was released today. And out of 30 general managers, they only picked two teams that could win a championship this year, being Golden State and Cleveland. And yet, you know, I look at the NHL, and all you got to do is look at last year's Stanley Cup playoffs and, you know, look at how good the wild cards did and the lower seeds. I love that about the NHL. There are so many teams that could be playing in the finals.
Well, that's right, and that's one of the beauties of the way that the NHL has been constructed and the way that the general managers in the salary cap era have managed their budgets and their teams. I think that the league is healthier than ever. Now there's a brand new team in Vegas, which I think is exciting, and we'll see that continue to blossom a little bit as the league continues to grow. And, you know, this is the short attention span era with kids on their cell phones all the time and finding out what the new apps are. So the game of hockey, I think, is positioned pretty well to deal with that generation, and I think it's pretty exciting to see.
We're talking with Dan Rusinowski. We've got the game for you tonight, the Flyers and the Sharks. Hey, you know, you've been doing this a long time. You've been the only voice that the Sharks have had. Just like the NBA, it is such a long season. You want to be playing well at the end, but boy, can you just talk about the grind? You know, for folks that aren't like hardcore hockey fans, they see the contact, they see the way the game is played, and they ask, gee, how do these guys play all the games? And unlike the NBA, they do play all the games. So, you know, what's it like going through an NHL season?
Well, I tell you, for a player, there's a lot of pain going through it. You know, these guys wake up sore. They're tired after travel. And if I can get on my Western Conference soapbox a little bit, Grant,
yeah,
as I know sometimes you do in the NBA too, I think that the people that run the league, in both leagues, in fact, the NBA and the NHL, think that that the distance between San Jose and Los Angeles has got like going from New York to Philly. And it's not like that at all. That's just how they do the schedule.
Yep.
So we have to go through all of that as well. When you get to 4 games in 5 days stretches sometimes during the course of the season because of necessity, you really marvel at the recovery ability of these players.
Yeah.
But they're so well trained, and they're like finely tuned machines now, that they understand their bodies well. They know what types of things they need to eat. They understand the sleep patterns they have. They even have sleep consultants now for both leagues. The NHL really employed that, and I think it helped the Sharks the year they went to the Stanley Cup final. So it's a real science, but it's still pretty tough. Like I said, about game 60-65, these players kind of hit the wall, and we do too with travel and everything else that we have to do. And then at about game 70, start to get excited about the playoff run, and you get that second win, and then of course the playoffs. There's nothing like it than the Stanley
yep.
Cup playoffs anywhere. So that's really the greatest. But it really is quite a grind,
yep.
And it's something special.
You know what I liked last year in the NHL, and you called it not that you know, but for someone that you know does this night in night out, you when you talked to me immediately about you know Edmonton and their young core and McDavid, and you know, for folks that aren't hardcore hockey fans that watch that series, you know, the new stars that are coming up, you know, in the National Hockey League, whether you're talking about Matthews in Toronto, McDavid in Edmonton, I can go on and on. I love where the game is right now.
You have to. And you know, Patrick Laine in Winnipeg's another one. Tonight, I think we're going to get a look at one. We'll see how he is. His name is Nolan Patrick. He was the second draft pick overall last summer. And as a teenager, he's going to play for the Philadelphia Flyers tonight. And I'm excited to see what he looks like in his first game. And, you know, we're starting to see these guys populate a little bit around the league. The Sharks haven't had quite as many of those guys. You know, Timo Meier's young. Patrick Marleau, of course, and Joe Thornton both played at 18. Logan Couture played as a 20-year-old. Let's not forget that the Sharks haven't had a top two or three pick for a long time. So that's something that that's interesting to see, that these kids are more ready now than ever before, and they're so mature, so well prepared with everything that they do.
Yep.
I remember when I was 18, and I know when you were 18 over at Bowling Green, if we had gotten $2 million and travel in first class, I think we'd both be dead by now. So it's amazing how these guys can handle themselves.
You hit that right on the head. We're talking with Dan Rusin. The voice of the San Jose Sharks right here. Before we let you go, the optimism with the Sharks, they've been knocking on the door. 2 years ago, the great run, then last year getting knocked out early. When you look at this team, are there any like concerns that jump out at you?
Well, I think just the question mark is exactly how the offense is going to get distributed a little bit. Which young player is going to step forward? A lot of people expect that to be maybe Timo Meier, who was a ninth overall pick a couple of years ago. But I think Kevin LeBanc is quite a sleeper. The kid from Staten Island really trained hard over the summer and had a very strong preseason. He's not as big as Meier. He's only about 185 pounds, but he's got a great nose for the net. He can really shoot the puck. And I think that we're excited about what might transpire. But as you know, the preseason is one thing, the regular season is another, and the playoffs are another matter entirely. So we'll see how this all transpires. But both of those guys have a lot of focus on them, along with Jonas Donskoi, kind of on what's hopefully a bounce-back year to try to provide that offense. So I suppose that's the only question mark. But defensively, goaltending, zero questions about this team.
Yep.
And that's where it all starts. That's how you build a championship team. So that's a good beginning.
Well, I know one thing I can guarantee is that the Shark Tank will be packed tonight, and it will be really, really loud. That's a given.
No doubt about that. The fans are great. It's a sea of teal that walks to the SAP Center each and every game. And, of course, they had the street rally going on outside, so they're already starting the party.
I love it. Dan, have a great season. Thank you very much.
Look forward to that, and thanks to everybody on Sports 1140 for tuning in, not only tonight, but all season long.
That's awesome. Dan Rusinowski, the voice of the Sharks, getting us ready for another NHL campaign. All right, we'll be right back. 30 minutes left here on Sports 1140 KHDK. All right, Grant Napier, as Doug is off today, we will both be doing the show tomorrow. And we're going to be getting you ready for Thursday Night Football, which, you know, figures to be an interesting matchup with New England at Tampa. And we'll get you out to Tampa at 5 o'clock. And then we've got the Kings and the Spurs coming up for you on Friday. That's a 5 o'clock pregame, 5:30 with all of the action. Then the Kings will be taking on the Lakers. You know what that means, unless Lonzo Ball decides that, you know, he's got a little issue with his body and he can't play, then we would see De'Aaron Fox and Lonzo Ball play in the preseason, which I talked to De'Aaron Fox about this. I guess it was on Media Day. And I asked him about that. I said, is this just a media manufactured rivalry? And he goes, oh, yeah, it's totally the media. So, you know, the media will make a big deal out of it because of, you know, when Kentucky and UCLA play. But, you know, I think it's just a big deal because they're both young. They're both very talented, and I think both teams, both the Lakers and the Kings, are extremely happy with their respective players. You know, I know the Kings are absolutely ecstatic that they have De'Aaron Fox, and I would say the same is true with the Lakers and Lonzo Ball. And here's the other thing. All right, let's just say that the Kings and the Lakers, who, you know, are both towards the bottom of the barrel in the West, what would happen if they would become good at the same time and for the next, maybe not starting this year, but starting in, let's say, next year or 2 years from now, for a 5 to 8 to 10 year period, which I don't think is being unreasonable, the Lakers and the Kings were playoff teams every year, and De'Aaron Fox and Lonzo Ball ended up being as advertised, and that is both really, really good and potential all-stars. I mean, so you tell me, how much fun would that be? Okay? Now, I've always said this, and I'm starting my 30th year, which is frightening. I'm starting my 30th year of calling the Kings games. And the one thing that I've always wanted to see, I've always wanted to see a playoff series between the Kings and the Warriors. And that has never happened, which is crazy, right? But can you imagine, though, when you talk about the Lakers with their young players and the Kings with their young players, and, you know, you talk about Magic and Vlade, teammates with the Lakers, very good friends, Lonzo Ball, De'Aaron Fox. And I can go right around the diamond, right? Right around the horn. How much fun would that be? Yeah, I think so. So I said this last February. I said it last April when the season ended. I said it at the beginning of training camp. And I'm saying it today again with 2 weeks remaining until the Kings start the regular season. This is the most excited I have been about the direction of this franchise and the future of this franchise in a long time. Now, I'm not on the air saying the Kings are going to be in the playoffs this year and they're going to win 45 games. That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is that the groundwork is there, the blueprint is there, and the Kings, because they hit the reset button in February, completely changed the makeup and the direction of this team in a very positive direction. And I am just, from the coaching staff to Vlade and his staff to all the young players and the talent that is now on this team, I believe. And no one's even talking about Harry Giles. You know, Harry Giles wasn't mentioned anywhere on the NBA survey from the general managers. I thought that maybe he would be listed among a steal of the draft, okay? But he wasn't. He wasn't. And Dennis Smith was. The question was, which rookie was the biggest steal at where he was selected in the draft? 37% Dennis Smith, Kyle Kuzma 22%, and Donovan Mitchell 7%. I really thought that maybe Harry Giles, who was taken 20th, would be in there, but I don't think he is on any of the team's radar just because, you know, for obvious reasons, but he will be. He's going to be on a lot of people's radar, assuming that his knees hold up, which I have no reason to think otherwise. So, to me, I would like to see what this poll looks like next year. All right? I want to see what it looks like next year. Giannis Antetokounmpo was voted as the best international player in the NBA, 69%. How about that? Last year, Antetokounmpo was 28%. DeJounte Murray, last year, was 23% as the biggest steal in the draft. Well, I'd like to see that poll all over again. You might have some Kings in there. So if you want to add in on this, 339-1140. That's 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. The Kings will practice tomorrow here in Sacramento. They will fly to San Antonio tomorrow for a matchup Friday. Now, Dave Yeager was on with us yesterday, and he said he wants to see the young kids play against the Spurs. And whereas he had a starting lineup on Monday of the veterans, Hill, and, you know, we saw Temple, and we saw Randolph, and we saw Carter, and, you know, we saw a Kufis, you know, we saw a veteran team, right? Well, he said on our show yesterday that that's not going to happen on Friday, that it's not going to be those vets. It's going to be the young guys playing against the Spurs because he wants to give them a test and see how they handle that. So, again, I'm only guessing here. I'm not – I don't know anything other than speculating. That would mean we're going to see a lot of De'Aaron Fox, a lot of Frank Mason, a lot of Buddy Hield, a lot of Bogdan Bogdanovic, Scal, Yorgos, you know, Justin Jackson, Willie Cauley-Stein. You know, to me, that's what we're going to be seeing on Friday against the San Antonio Spurs. Baseball, the Rockies are fighting in there. They were down 6-0, and they have now cut that lead to 2-6-4. So I thought Zach Greinke was going to, you know, finally, you know, show the Diamondbacks why they paid him all that money. Well, the answer to that question is no. Absolutely not. This ball game is kind of like what we saw last night in New York. It's like moving like molasses. It's in the top of the fourth inning. It is already 6-4. Game started an hour and a half ago, and they're only in the top of the fourth, for crying out loud. How about that, huh? 6-4, top of the fourth. The Diamondbacks had a 6-0 lead. They have chased Greinke, the Rockies have, and they've pulled it within two at 6-4. If you're joining us late, we had the Landry Football Report with Chris Landry. We talked to Willie Cauley-Stein. We talked with Dan Ruzanowski. Hope you enjoyed that conversation. We also had Lincoln Kennedy on, talking about the Raiders at 4:30. Now, NBA preseason. I got some good news for everybody. I think it's good news. We talk about the length of baseball games, right? And about how crazy it is that these games are just going forever. The NBA is trying to shorten their games, and they're trying to pick up the pace of play. So the NBA, instead of having 18 timeouts per game, it's down to 14. They have gotten rid of their mandatory timeouts in the second and fourth quarter, and there's no such thing as a 20-second timeout anymore. It's either a mandatory timeout or a team timeout. If it is a mandatory timeout, it's 2 minutes and 45 seconds. If it is a team timeout, it is a minute and 15 seconds. What do you think about that? I love it. I think it's great. So instead of 18 timeouts a game, we're down to 14. And I love the fact that, you know, there are no 20-second timeouts and all, just, you know, mandatory or a team timeout. It's good stuff right there. I'm really happy about that. Get rid of some of those timeouts. Down from 18 to 14. What do you think about that? 339-1140, 800-920-1140. That's 339-1140, 800-920-1140. A reminder, tomorrow we've got Thursday Night Football. Patriots and Bucks at 5 o'clock, right after Doug and I do our two-hour show. All right, tell you what, why don't we take the break? We'll come back. We'll do the final segment. If you want to call, that's the time to do so. Again, 6-4 is the score. In the fourth, the Diamondbacks up by 2. This is Sports 1140 KHDK. All right, don't forget we have Sharks hockey tonight, as they'll drop the puck at 7:30. Tomorrow we got the Bucks and the Patriots from Tampa. Little Thursday night football. Friday night, the Kings and the Spurs, 5 o'clock pregame, 5:30 with all the action. Saturday, LSU at Florida, Eastern Washington at UC Davis. And then on Sunday, we kick off our coverage at 10 a.m. with Arizona at Philly, Raiders at 1 against Baltimore, and then we'll have the Kings-Lakers game. And they have the time up there wrong. The Kings-Lakers game is at 6 on Sunday, 5:30 with the pregame following the Raiders. So we got it all for you right here Sports 1140, KHTK, and been a lot of fun sitting in here for 4 hours and talking about the NBA general manager rankings, talking about little NFL football and college football with Chris Landry, the baseball playoffs. And by the way, if you did not hear, Joe Girardi finally announced his starters, as he's going to go with Sonny Gray to match up with Trevor Bauer tomorrow, game one. And then in game two, it's CC Sabathia and Corey Kluber. Boston and Houston tomorrow has a dandy of a matchup. That's a 1 o'clock Pacific time start. Chris Sale against Justin Verlander. And then game two at 11:05 Pacific time on Friday, Drew Pomerantz against Dallas Keuchel. So games one and two, not exactly what you would call prime time. The Yankees, they will play at 2 p.m. Pacific on Friday after the, you know, again, the nighttime game in Cleveland. And then, of course, you got the Cubs and Washington. The winner of this wild card game will take on the Dodgers. So that is your schedule. You know, you think Washington's ever going to announce their starting pitcher for Friday, or are they going to wait until game time? Kyle Hendricks, by the way, going for the Cubbies. Who's going to win this thing this year? I mean, who do you like? Who? I mean, everyone's talking about the Dodgers, but I can't go with the Dodgers just because I got to see it. You know, and you look at the baseball playoffs right now, I still think Cleveland beats New York. To me, they're just better. I mean, the Yankees are a dangerous team. Their starting pitching's good. Their bullpen is great. But, I mean, I can't discount what Cleveland did this season. Boston and Houston. You know, again, games one and two in Houston. Verlander and Keuchel against Sale and Pomerantz. I just give the advantage to Houston there. I mean, getting Justin Verlander at the trade deadline, are you kidding me? I give the edge to Houston. And again, I think that may be the most entertaining series of them all. And you look at the Astros. I mean, they are so good up the middle, the Houston Astros. You know, again, Verlander, Keuchel, McCullers Jr., Giles is the closer. I mean, the one thing that Boston has, you know, I mean, you know, you want to talk about closers, you want to talk about what they do. It's they got to feel very good going into this. I don't put a lot of stock in the home field advantage in the playoffs. I really don't. I don't think it's that big of a deal. I do like getting your last licks, but let me tell you something. Kimbrel, boy, he is good. And I just think Houston, it's got to be their turn, right? Because 2 years ago, they were right there. They blew the lead in an elimination game at Kansas City. And then two years ago. And how about last year? They were horrible. Now they bounce back, right? They bounce back. I want to know about Dustin Pedroia. You know, he's going to play, but he's got that left knee issue. He's so important to that team. And I think when you talk about a guy that's always going to be there, that would be Dustin Pedroia. You know, I don't know why it's a big deal that Chris Sale's been dealing with a minor cold. What's a minor cold? Like, really, we got to be concerned about a professional athlete that's got a minor cold? This should be a heck of a... By the way, Sale and Verlander, I didn't realize this until this morning, they have faced each other 6 times as starters in their careers. In those 6 matchups, Sale has a 3.09 ERA with 48 strikeouts and 12 walks in 40 innings. Verlander, a 1.84 ERA with 44 Ks and 9 walks in 44 innings. And Verlander's teams have won 5 of the 6 games. Now, again, these are different teams, but still, I mean, will we look back at the end of October and say the best move that was made all year ended up being the Houston Astros at the very last minute of the trade deadline getting Justin Verlander? May very well, if they are able to get and go the distance. It may very well. So, baseball playoffs continuing tomorrow with the two games, as we mentioned. The matinee with Boston at Houston. That game starts 1 o'clock Pacific. Yankees-Indians, 4:30 Pacific. And then Friday, Boston and Houston will play at 11 o'clock Pacific in the morning. The Yankees at 2 o'clock Pacific, and then the National League, Chicago at Washington at 4:30 Pacific. So it's here, folks. It's here. And by the way, an update in that game that's going on at Chase Field. Is it still called Chase Field? Who knows? I don't know what it's called. It's called the home of the Arizona Diamondbacks. It's 6-4, all right? The game is in the bottom of the fourth. This game's going to go longer than the Yankees-Twins game yesterday, I think. Again, 6-4 Diamondbacks. They're batting in the bottom of the fourth. Runners on the corners and two out. The winner takes on the Dodgers in L.A. I think it's called Chase Field, isn't it? I don't know. I should know. I go by there twice every year when you're getting ready to do the Suns games. But, again, you know what? I'm surprised. I thought Greinke was going to pitch better than this. You know, they hand him a 6-0 lead, and he can't even make it through the fourth inning. Are you kidding me? I mean, that's awful, isn't it? Don't you? You got to get more from that from Zach Greinke. You give the guy a 6-run lead. He goes three and two thirds. Gives up 6 hits, 4 runs, all earned. I mean, that's brutal. That's awful. That's a 9.82 ERA. That's a bad job by Zach Greinke. I mean, you give a pitcher like that 6 runs, and he can't even make it through to the. He can't even get through the fourth inning. Boy, that is awful. That's terrible. Really, Gray was not. I mean, God, how bad was he? One in a 1.1 innings. All right, an inning and a third, 4 runs, all earned. That comes out to a 27.0 ERA if you're keeping score at home. But that you need more from that from Zach Greinke. That's a bad job by Greinke. There's that. That is just awful. 3 2/3 innings, 58 pitches. The worst outing of his career in the playoffs. Boy, that's brutal. All right. Tomorrow, 3 o'clock, Doug will be back. We'll get you ready for Thursday Night Football as New England will be at Tampa. Make it a great evening, everybody. We appreciate you listening right here to Sports 1140 KHTK.